Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 747, Veera Ha, the meaning of which is pretty clear if one has even elementary familiarity with Sanskrit vocabulary. Veera means hero, and Ha means, it gives the idea of killing. Specifically, it's in this form of the word, Ha, gives the past tense. He who has slain heroes, or at least one hero. Vishnu slays many heroes. This name came up in the second century of names, and will again come in the 10th century of names. We're now in the 8th century, name 747. Sri Parashara Bhatta, the first Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama in this Kali Yuga, he explains the names differently in different places to show that there is no fault in Sanskrit poetry in Sanskrit literature in general. Atyukti, excessive words or redundancy, is considered a literary fault. So if we have the same name two times or three times or more, then we may consider this as a literary fault. But Sri Parashara Bhatta, he shows that it's not so, because he explains the names differently in each case. And specifically Sri Parashara Bhatta, he explains names in series, just not necessarily verse by verse, but as they appear in order, he explains these names, this series of names is in relation to Krishna or Rama or other avatars, or in relation to a specific pastime of the Lord, or in relation to a specific quality of the Lord. And in this way, he shows that there is no fault of redundancy. So Veera means hero, and the killer of heroes. And we may say, well, why do you want to kill a hero? A hero is a great person. Well, you don't become a hero unless you do something heroic. And generally the term is, Veera is considered in terms of military prowess and courage in battle. Yuddhe chapya palayanam. This is one of the qualities of a kshatriya given in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. Those who do not they do not flee in battle. When Arjuna went to the heavenly worlds, his father, Indra, showed him around and gave a list of the kind of people that could not enter there. One of them was the kshatriya who has turned his back in battle. There are many kshatriyas, previously kshatriyas, in the heavenly worlds, but they were ones, they were heroes. They preferred to die on the battlefield rather than flee. And to flee, if you flee, you don't get the pious result. And sambhavitasya cha kirtir maranadati richyate, you get blamed. You're supposed to be such a great warrior when you're sitting at home talking big, but when it comes to the battlefield, if you run away, then you'll simply be scorned, which is worse than death for a kshatriya to die and be a hero on the battlefield. That is his glory, and that is the way by which he is swagadwaram apavritam sukhina kshatriya parata labhante yudhamidrisham. That is the way by the whereby the Kshatriyas, this is also Bhagavad Gita, Krishna telling Arjuna, that the Kshatriyas are very happy to get the opportunity to fight because it opens the door of heaven to them. Either you conquer the earth, or you die in the attempt, and then you go to the heavenly world. So either way, you're the winner. You don't lose. The Kshatriya, the hero. So why would you want to kill such a person, such a great person? Well, that's how you become a hero, by taking that risk. And taking the risk means you may win so many battles and then you lose one and then you're dead. And then you live in the heavenly worlds. Of course, as we'll see in this discussion of this name, the name hero can also be applied to demoniac heroes. There may be demons who are, they're not fighting for the right reasons. They're fighting for personal aggrandizement or other wrong reasons, reasons contrary to dharma. But still they may exhibit much courage in battle. The term hero can also be used in other contexts. For instance, Dhanavira, hero of charity. Karmavira, a more broad usage of the term, that in one is very accomplished and very assiduous in performing great activities within the sphere of karma kanda. Dharmavira, one doesn't shrink from performing one's duties in this world according to Shastric injunction, even at the risk of great suffering. This is a theme that throughout Mahabharata is consistently questioned and answered. Why is the evil Duryodhana flourishing while the pious Pandavas are not? But the answer is that those who flout dharma, they may for a short time appear to be flourishing, but they will soon be destroyed by their own misdeeds. And those who follow dharma, they will flourish in due course of time. They will have a lasting prosperity. So in this way, there are different kinds of heroes, and Krishna kills them. He didn't kill the Pandavas. They were heroes. So what kind of heroes does Krishna kill? Well, especially this then refers to the demoniac heroes. Those who misbehave, they exploit the citizens, they can also be called heroes in terms of their battlefield exploits. But they're not really heroes in the best sense of the word. So therefore, the commentators here, they give the first interpretation of this name, Viraha, as the slayer of powerful demons. Krishna is most powerful, and he regularly comes to this world to slay demons who have become so powerful that even the gods cannot match them. It's possible. You become a demigod by performing great austerities, or you can be a Kshatriya and die on the battlefield. By performing dharma very well. But one can also become a very powerful demon by performing powerful austerities. And the examples are there of Hiranyakashipu, Ravana. They became very powerful. And by their austerities, they may become more powerful even than the demigods, or they may get boons, as in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. They took boons by which they could become more powerful than demigods. So even the great demigods, those who cannot be killed by the great demigods, are easily killed by Lord Vishnu. And there are numerous narrations of Lord Vishnu doing this. When we say easily killed, well, if we think of Rama and Ravana, it doesn't seem so easy. Well, actually, intrinsically, it is easy for the Lord to kill the demons, but he has his Leela also. Otherwise, what's the use? He can just press a button and send a drone and kill all the demons. And nowadays, there's no heroism left in fighting, it seems. It's terrorism, drone warfare, cyber warfare. Where's the scope for heroism? The most powerful are those who are the most technologically advanced, which doesn't give much scope for heroism. In fact, it encourages cowardice and bullying. So Krishna, his power, he's the greatest hero. And he comes to this world to vinashayata dushkritam, to destroy those who are using their power, which seems to be mighty, to destroy. Yeah, he comes to destroy those who are misusing their power. One name we already had in Vishnu Sahasraram is Aparajita. He's not defeated. Others may be defeated by great demons, but Krishna is not defeated, even if he might appear to be so, as in the case with Jarasandha. He appeared to be defeated. He ran away. But he had a purpose in doing so, and eventually Jarasandha was beaten by Bhima. Krishna, he also acts as Viraha, a killer of the demons, through his great devotees, and especially when he came as Krishna. He is Krishna. When he comes as Krishna, he destroyed so many demons through the agency of Bhima and Arjuna. When he came as Rama, so many demons were killed by Sri Hanuman and others, Angada, Nila, and so on. Parashara Bhatta has given some examples. He's referring to Krishna Avatar, or Krishna Avatari, as we Gauriyas understand him. Putana, the first demon killed by Krishna. Shakarta Asura. The Yamalajuna trees. And there are so many. Bakasura, Kuvalayapura, and the commentator said that he killed all of these in his childhood, and then he would smile. And a nice smile, his bright teeth shining through his red lips, looking very sweet. He had a special smile for when he kills the demons. Turumangai Alva, great devotee of Krishna. He especially, among all the Alvas, he glorifies Krishna so much. He describes him as the hero beyond all heroes. Superhero. We have that term, superhero, now. Srila Prabhupada noted that in Krishna Leela, although Krishna Leela is famous for kissing, in terms of the narrations, Krishna did a lot more killing than kissing. We'll find chapter after chapter of Krishna's childhood pastimes, his pastimes in Vrindavan and outside Vrindavan, killing demons. We don't hear so much about kissing. Actually, the kissing went on for longer because when Krishna was with the gopis, the night when he was dancing Rasleela with the gopis, the night was extended to the extent of the duration of a night of Lord Brahma. So, in terms of time, there was more kissing than killing. But in terms of variegated pastimes, there were more pastimes of killing. Now, here's a paradox, which goes back to the ancient Greeks, and maybe before that also. What happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? Oh, it's a paradox. Unstoppable force can move anything. An immovable object cannot be moved by anything. What happens when they come together? Well, as keen students of logic, or maybe even of semantics, have pointed out, it's a false dichotomy. Because if the unstoppable force comes in contact with an immovable object, well, it may have been unstoppable prior to that, but then it becomes stopped. Or it may be that the immovable object was immovable, had not encountered such a strong force previously, so it becomes moved. So a powerful force when it comes in contact with a solid substance, one of them has to give way, and then it will be seen that the unstoppable force has been stopped, or the immovable object has been moved, or maybe both. They'll both cancel each other out. Just like, for instance, if a strong wind hits a big mountain, maybe the mountain will move a little bit and the wind will be deflated also. Now, what's this got to do with Vishnu Sahasranama? Well, so many demons, like Hiranyakashipu, thought they were immovable. No one can do anything to me. They came in contact with Lord Vishnu. And then it was seen that although the great demons were immovable by all the great demigods and all other powers in this world, he was killed by the unstoppable force, who is Lord Vishnu. People nowadays, they refer to Hiranyakashipu and Ravana as mythical figures. They don't believe they ever existed. And they will cite as examples of heroes in India. We have Shivaji is much praised. And in more recent times, Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose is praised in France. Napoleon is praised in Britain. There are so many. Lord Nelson, Sir Francis Drake, Lord Wellington, military heroes or naval heroes. Who killed them? Who killed Napoleon? No, he just died on the fortress island of St. Elba. But it is suspected that he was poisoned by his British captors and killed in that. Who killed him? Who killed Subhash Chandra Bose? Is he still alive? Unlikely, if he did survive the plane crash in which he was said to be in. Who killed him? Was it a Russian plot, or was it the British, Churchill? Who killed him? Who killed Hitler? Oh, he shot himself, didn't he? Who knows exactly? Who killed all these heroes? Ultimately, Krishna. And ultimately, it really doesn't matter that much. Such big men. What does it matter? They died. Everyone has to die. What does it matter that they die? Who, how they died? They're little flies compared to Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. Krishna doesn't come personally to kill these little Kali Yuga demons. Little? Stalin killed so many people. Yeah, he was a demon, no doubt about it. Holocaust is going on right at the present time. Millions of cows are being killed. Kali Yuga, the personality of Kali, is having his play. This play of Kali is destroyed by Krishna in the form of the holy name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nam Huite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nishtar. In this age of Kali, the Avatar, Krishna, has descended in the form of his holy name, and the whole world will be delivered from the effects of Kali by this holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Shaurashakam Nam, Nam Kali Kalmashan Nashanam Natav Parataropaya Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Brahma told Narada that this Hare Krishna mantra destroys all the evils of Kali Yuga. There's no better method than this. Even if you search through all the Vedas, you won't find any better method than this. So the holy name destroys Kali, because if we say all the bad qualities of Kali are destroyed, then it's not Kali anymore. It's just like if you say, someone may say, well, you Westerners, you're all mlechas, but then if we chant Hare Krishna and we follow the pure way of life as given by Srila Prabhupada, then physically maybe mlecha by body, but we're not mlechas anymore, because the quality which makes a mlecha is gone. So Kali is destroyed by the holy name of Krishna. So what does it matter to anyone now? So many great heroes have come and gone and be forgotten. Local heroes, national heroes, international heroes, sports heroes. I said dharmavir, karmavir, dhanavir, but nowadays we have sports heroes, movie heroes. It's a misuse of the word, actually. It's become an accepted use of the word, but it's a misused term. They come and go, especially these sports heroes. They come and go so quickly. Who's the great hero now will be forgotten tomorrow. Maybe a famous movie actor. Two films are hits and then the rest are flops, and then you'll find them cleaning the toilets 20 years later somewhere. What does it matter, actually? What does it matter? At school, you have to learn about these heroes. In school, I had to learn about who? Wellington, Napoleon. Who are the names? Pitt the Elder, Pitt the Younger, Disraeli, Gladstone, all the... What does it matter? You're doing your going about your life now. What does it matter? What anyone did in the past? If we learn history, even nowadays in India, people are not that much interested in Gandhi and other heroes of the Indian National Congress, the independence movement, because it just seems to have no relevance to their life now. Gandhi Jayanti, as it's called, the birthday of Mahatma Gandhi, is celebrated as a national holiday. It's a formality. No one really cares that much. He's dead and gone long ago, and although His influence is there in as much as India is independent, although it's widely considered nowadays that it wasn't Gandhi who got independence anyway. It was more the contribution of Subhash Chandra Bose. But he's also dead and gone, and we don't feel it in our day-to-day life. We don't feel any importance of it. What does it matter? What does anything matter? Gornitaya dancing. Firche neche jai shakal bipol bhaktivinod bolen jakarana. A shikadiya. Krishna nama radha krishna bolo shonge chalo e mitra matro bikachai. A shikadiya shabnadiya. Firche neche gornitaya. Gornitaya singing and dancing the names of Radha and Krishna. Through wandering throughout Nadia, dancing here and there, saying, you come and join us. We're beggars. We beg of you to join us in chanting Hare Krishna. We don't want anything else. So saying this, they wander throughout the land of, the blessed land of Nadia. So they don't... What does anything matter? You're chanting Hare Krishna. What is the world will go on in its own way? What does it matter? This, that, that. You may say, well, we have to be concerned. Yeah, to some extent, in the present situation, we have to be concerned. We're not preaching irresponsibility. But we should know all these things come and go. So many great heroes come and go. The only thing that really matters is Krishna and Krishna Nam. And the Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Shastra, this is Dharma in Kali Yuga. So many other things. Why should we bother learning history? This history we should learn about Krishna, how he descends in his various avatars. Because by hearing that, we'll be purified. By hearing the history of our country, then we become very nationalistic, which is... illusory. We become entangled in this material world by identifying with it in any way. So better we hear Vishnu Sahasranam and Srimad Bhagavata, Gita, hear about Krishna. Krishna, by his energies, he destroys everything and he goes on dancing. He's dancing. And dancing means you don't care for anything else in the world when you're dancing. So we all have so many cares and worries. Every day, chant Hare Krishna, sing and dance. Jai Shokal Bipod Bhakti Vinod Balen Jokon Onam Gai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur informs us, all cares, all miseries, all dangers, they'll all fly away when we chant the names of Krishna and dance. Nothing matters that much. What's going on in the world, this great hero, President of America, President of Russia, President of China, President of India, President of Trinidad and Tobago. What does it matter? Who's who, what's what? I remember being in Bangladesh and we see the newspaper and the news, what's going on, this party, BNP and Awami League, and it all seems very important when you're in Bangladesh, and you just hop over the border to India. No one's ever heard of these personalities they're talking about. It's little heroes on a little stage. Krishna's stage is the whole universe and far beyond. Let us hear about Krishna. Otherwise, so many people come and go. Nowadays, what's the big hero? Coronavirus. It's killing more people than anyone, more than any tyrant. Maybe hasn't caught up with Stalin yet. But that will be killed by Krishna. All things must pass, as is stated in the Bible and in the Bhagavad Gita. Agama payino nityas. Everything, things in this world, they come and they go. So let us be concerned with the eternal and not with the temporary. Another meaning that the commentators give for this name is the destroyer of those who indulge in vain arguments and distract others from meditating on him. So Actually, people who make various theories, philosophical ideas, their influence can last much longer than their body does. They die, but their influence remains. Marx died and communism flourished for a short time. David Hume is long dead and gone, but his atheistic ideas are still discussed. Although actually, if you study the history of Indian philosophy, there are many books on that topic. There's a summary of the history of Indian philosophy in three fat volumes. That's exactly the title, A History of Indian Philosophy by Surendranath Dasgupta, written in the 20th century. So if we read that, we'll find that all these ideas, they say, the philosophy, Western philosophy, they're all already there. They're already there in what we can call Indian philosophy, although philosophy is a bit of a misnomer to say Western philosophy or Indian philosophy, because philosophy is concerned with truth, which is neither Indian or Western or anywhere else in. So going through that, I found that Sri Ramanujacharya, he addressed the objection to the idea that there must be a God, otherwise there must be some higher power who created the universe. Otherwise, how did it all come into being? Cosmological argument. Now, David Hume says that, well, even if you say that someone made it, the universe, well, how do you know it's one? It could be two. It could be a team. And Ramanuja agrees. He says that's not a very good argument. There could be more than one, because we see complex things in this world are usually, they may be made with more than one designer, and more than one, it definitely takes more than one person to make them. So Ramanuja agrees with that argument. But the point I'm making is the idea that we cannot deduce that there must be a God, a single powerful God, simply from observing the universe. There could be many co-creators. An argument given by David Hume, but Ramanuja discussed that, which means he didn't originate that argument. It was there already in Indian philosophy. Anyway, there are many wrong ideas floating in the world. All ideas except that which is correct are wrong. They may come close to the truth. We may say that 2 plus 2 equals 3.9 recurring, but it's still not exactly 4. Although if you take two chickens and bring another two chickens, you'll have 4 chickens. There's no such thing as a 1.9 recurring chicken. Anyway, that's not the topic of discussion today. Krishna, he addresses various misunderstandings as Vyasa Avatar in compiling his Brahma Sutras, also known as Vedanta Sutras, Shariraka Sutras, and particularly the great Vaishnava Acharyas. They come to this world and they destroy all wrong ideas, particularly Sri Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya in their commentaries on the Badarayana Sutras, which is another name for Vedanta Sutras. They gave the proper understanding that Vishnu is supreme, everything is not a homogeneous oneness, Kevala Advaita. They smash that idea. So we have in the understanding that they are Shaktya Vaishavatars. They descended from the spiritual world, imbued with the potency of Vishnu for a specific purpose, for destroying wrong arguments. Then another meaning of Viraha, the destroyer of the bonds of Yama. And Parashurabhata, he gives the example of Gajendra, the crocodile, who was caught in the vice-like grip, to use a cliche, of the teeth of the crocodile, but was released by Lord Vishnu. So in the same way, we are bound by the bonds of material nature, but Devi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratya Mam Eva Ye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. The bonds of material nature are very difficult, impossible to overcome, but if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will very easily destroy those bonds. So a similar understanding that Shankaracharya gives. He gives several understandings. One of the understandings he gives for this name is that Vishnu kills the demons, heroic demons, but he also gives the understanding that he leads the jivas to moksha by showing them the right path. So that interacts with that he shows the right path, which means he destroys the wrong paths, because there are so many misconceptions. So we just covered that, how Vyasa avatar, Sri Ramanuja, Krishna himself in speaking Bhagavad Gita, they give the right idea and destroy the wrong ideas. So that interpretation, he leads them to moksha, leads them out of this material world. That fits with the understanding that he destroys the wrong ideas. And it also goes with the understanding which is given by our own Gaurya Vaishnav commentator, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, as the he is the destroyer of the very powerful forces of lust, anger, greed, and so on, which bind us in this material world, which can be compared to heroes in as much as they're very strong, very difficult to overcome, very, very difficult for us to overcome. But he can do so, and he does so for the sake of his devotees. So these bad qualities can be compared to heroes in this way. Just as the devotees, when Hiranyakashipu was present in the world, they were suffering under his persecution and torture. So devotees who want to be free from bondage of material nature, they want to go to Krishna, but they find themselves tortured by very difficult to overcome material desires and material tendencies. But then we have to pray to Lord Narasimhadev. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajranaka Vajradangstra Karmashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamograsa Grasa Ong Svaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyashta Ong Shrom. We pray to Lord Narasimhadev, who has thunderbolt-like teeth, thunderbolt-like nails. He can destroy the deep-rooted desires, the whole reservoir of desires for enjoying in this material world that is within our heart. So we pray to him to do so. Then similar interpretation, yeah. He ends the various paths that take us from birth to birth. He destroys them. There's another interpretation. Another understanding given by one of the commentators, Sri Satya Sandha Tirtha, is that he is accompanied by Garuda and Vayu when he goes to destroy the demons. And this is all by studying the Sanskrit, breaking it down, finding the meanings. Satyadeva Vashishta, as usual, finds a unique novel understanding in his interpretation of the various names, as he does with many, if not most of the names, a completely different meaning. He who provides different ways for his creations to move around. So different living beings, they move in different ways. The way a human moves, generally on two legs, is not exactly the same way as a chimpanzee moves, or an elephant moves, or a snake moves, or a frog moves, or even we see the generally the crows fly fairly straight, and other birds, like, they go up and down as they fly in their motion. So even the birds fly differently. Some birds hardly fly at all. Chickens, they can hardly fly. And we see some birds, with they walk one leg in front of the other. The ones with longer legs, like ostriches. But small birds, if they jump on two legs, right? They jump two legs at a time and they'll flutter their wings a little bit. You don't see these things in the cities much, but if we're in the country, we see. So in this way, Krishna arranges for different living beings who are all his creations to move around in various ways. And that is another understanding of the name Viraha. So if you look at nature, which is a good education, look at nature, and you see how the different living beings move around, we can remember this is one understanding of the name Viraha. And remember Krishna in everything, everywhere, at all times and all places. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.